Hallelujah. Well, the way that God always moves is through His Word. If you turn with me to Luke 15, keep your hearts in an atmosphere of worship. Let's see what the Lord would not do for us. Amen, today. Luke chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be Pentecostal. One thing we do is the up and down, the up and down, the up and down. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? Words of Christ. Here in a moment, we're given the introduction in verse 1 of Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. He's answering their thoughts and their words. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goeth after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This is in triplicate because Jesus gives an answer to their thoughts. He gives three parables. We're going to look at the first of those this morning. We're going to talk about lost and found. We're going to talk about the sheep this morning. How many can say this morning that you're in the number that was lost but found? Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad he seeks for the lost sheep? Amen. God bless you. You could be seated this morning. In this parable, we see God's attitude towards the sinner. And I think in seeing God's attitude toward the sinner, we want to adjust our attitude to the sinner so that our attitude can match God's attitude. I want you to, if you would, imagine two scenarios with me that very probably could have, at least one of them, have happened in your life. The first of those scenarios, I want you to think of a time as a small child when you were in a crowd, maybe it was the mall, maybe it was somewhere in a crowd, and you were separated from your parents. Can you think of one of those times? I want you to think of the complete abject terror and hopelessness you felt when you were separated and you could not find your parents. With me, it was a time my dad worked on the airbase. There was some kind of open house. And I can see it in my mind. We were moving in the crowd out to the tarmac to see one of the airplanes. And suddenly in the crowd, I noticed I was alone. I couldn't find my parents, my siblings, anywhere. I remember that sense of lostness. The second scenario, and many of you will relate to this, if there was ever a time when you were parents of small children and you were out somewhere and all of a sudden that child was gone. Do you remember the feeling you had in your heart? The time I'm thinking about, we were in revival in Texas and Ashton was real small, just walking. We were at a city park with the pastors. We were having a picnic. She was right there. We looked away to talk a few seconds later. We looked up. We couldn't find her anywhere in the park, anywhere around. We looked up. She was at the edge of the park between two vehicles about to get into a van with someone. You talk. Just that sense of her being gone, that child being gone. How many as a parent has remembered that sense? They're not there. You see, I find in the gospel that it's about both of those situations. The gospel we have to preach, first of all, is about the person that recognizes that they are hopelessly and miserably lost. How many knows there's some folks that do realize that? They realize they are hopelessly lost. But the gospel is not just about the child figure that recognizes he's lost. The gospel is about the parent that is passionately seeking for the lost child. I'm telling you, the gospel is about men are lost, but the God of heaven is passionately seeking for those that are lost. Hallelujah. In this parable, we see that God never repels sinners, but God rather reaches out to find them and welcome them around his table. In our structure here for the parables, I just want to keep it, first of all, what is going on? Well, I read to us what's going on in verse 1. The Bible said there drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They weren't even potential good tithe payers. I mean, they were publicans and sinners. They were considered the rabble, the riffraff, the outcasts, the vile sinners of the day. But the Bible says as vile as they may have been, at least they were drawing near to Christ and they were hungry to hear the truth of his words. Today, this crowd, we would characterize them as the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the fornicators and the cursers and the liars and the thieves. That's what kind of crowd was gathering in to Jesus. But the thing that was to be noted wasn't just their lifestyle, just their sinfulness. The thing that was to be noted is as they came, and the reason they came, they were hungering for the words of life that came from his mouth. That's what's going on. But the sad thing is in this story that at the same time, the outcasts, the sinners are drawing near to the Lord. The religious crowd was holding back and resisting and criticizing. It ought not to have been that way, but it was. Amen. The rabble, the sinner, the publican was drawing near, but the religious crowd was resisting and holding back. I'd rather be in the company of the rabble that's drawing near to Jesus than in the company of the self-righteous that is resisting and drawing back. Could you say amen? And that religious crowd in verse 2 had something to say. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man," talking of Jesus, "receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They, feeling they were religious and righteous, were repulsed by certain people. And being repulsed by those publicans and sinners, they rejected them, wanting nothing to do with them. But what got the Pharisee, what got the religious crowd, is that it was evident Jesus wasn't just tolerating those folks. Instead, he was welcoming them to himself. And not only was he welcoming them, it was evident Jesus was enjoying the fellowship that he was having with the publicans and sinners. And that got their goat. That stuck sideways in their craw. They could not swallow that with their Pharisaical throats, that Jesus was actually not just accepting and welcoming, he was enjoying sharing the word with this group of sinners and publicans. Amen. What did they want Jesus to do? Did he want Jesus to throw up his hands and his arms and shout, "Get away from me, go on, leave me alone, shoo, get on out of here"? What did they want Jesus to do? To turn his back and ignore them? Amen. I don't know what they were expecting him to do, but I do know what he did. He turned and he welcomed that crowd of sinners. Oh, aren't you glad for his words? "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The Pharisees met it as condemnation. They met it as criticism. He receiveth the publican and sinner. I don't see it as criticism. I see it as a commendation. I see it as an approval of what a great Savior we have. You see, they were reasoning Jesus could not be the Son of God. He could not be God. and be doing this, receiving sinners. Because you see, they thought God would never ever do anything like that with the sinner. But the point is, since they did not have the attitude of God, they didn't recognize it when they saw it. I want the attitude of God. That's what was going on. So in response to that, what's the earthly illustration? Verse 3, Jesus shared a parable with them. Verse 4, he said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You see, in that day, a lost sheep was no small loss. That was the commodities of their economy, agriculture. And one sheep was worth a whole lot. And what Jesus was doing, he was, as many of them were farmers and owners of livestock, he was appealing to their sense of what it would be to them if they lost a sheep, and how that they would value that sheep. It would be a great loss to them. And what Jesus is trying to say, the way you would feel if you lost one of your livestock is the way I feel, in greater sense, it's the way I feel about lost souls. You and I know how we'd feel about the loss of our vehicle or the loss of our home. And what Jesus is saying is the way you'd feel about the loss of your home, the loss of your vehicle, that's the way I feel, and in a greater sense, I feel that way about the loss of any soul. And so Jesus appealed to their sense of the value that they put in a sheep. And he says, I put even more value in a soul. And he is asking them, what would you do for a sheep that you valued? Would you not go out and seek for it and look for it? What Jesus was saying to those Pharisees, the way you'd feel about that sheep, I feel that way about these old dirty sinners, these publicans that you want me to run off and get rid of. I feel that way about them. They're lost. They're of value to me, and I'm going to go after them. I'm not going to run them away. I'm headed their direction. I'm not going to try to run them off. I'm going to walk up to them. Because I value them. I care for them. You let some people lose their cell phone and you'll get a sense of what Jesus was saying if any of you lose a sheep. I want you to notice he says that which is lost. A sheep that is lost cannot find its way back. A sheep that is lost doesn't know where the herd is, and the herd doesn't know where it is. Amen. If a person does not know Christ, if a person is not in God's fold, he is lost like the lost sheep. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of folks that are lost. I said they're lost, hopelessly lost. I begin to think about this, and you know, we're living in a time in intellectualism, and you know, people act like God is hard to find. We don't know if there's a God. We don't know if you can discover him. People act like God is hard to find. I want to tell you, it's not God that's hard to find. It's people that are hard to find. It's people that are lost. And even though there were all those sheep left, 99, the shepherd noticed the one that was missing. You know, in this time, shepherds knew all of their sheep by names. They weren't a number, they were a name. And the shepherds knew every sheep by name. And Brother Brock, at least once a day, every shepherd counted their sheep. And when one was missing, they knew it by the number, and they knew what name of the sheep was missing. You see, a shepherd didn't just notice the sheep that's left in the fold. The shepherd recognizes the one that isn't there. I want to tell you, every time we gather as a pastor, I am grateful. I am thankful for everyone that's in the house of God. But I'll tell you how my mind and my heart works. I notice those that aren't here. I remember one time at a special meeting. Let me tell you this little story. I was at a special meeting and another pastor came to me, and he pastored more of a small church, and he got to talking and he said, you know, we've lost a family lately. And I was just trying to relate to him, and I said, yeah. I said, we lost two families lately. And he looked at me and he said these words. He said, well, that shouldn't matter as much to you. You got a lot more people than we got. It shouldn't bother you as much to lose a family as it does us, because there's less of us. And I understood what he meant, and I wasn't, you know, not understanding of that. But that just went all through me, and I turned to him. I had 4 kids at the time, and he had 8 or more. I turned to him. I said, so what you're saying, if both of us were in a tragedy to lose our children, it shouldn't bother you as much to lose a child as it does me, because you got twice as many kids. No, sir. It's the one that's lost. And Jesus said, it's the one that's lost that I'm concerned about. The shepherd's not satisfied that he still has the 99. He's consumed with finding the one that's lost. Amen. 6 billion people in this world. If 5,900,000,000 of them were saved, our God would still be concerned in reaching after the one that was lost. Aren't you glad we have such a Savior? Oh, what a Savior. God, give us your attitude. Not only was the sheep not there by being lost, the sheep by being lost is in danger of destruction. Away from the flock, the sheep becomes confused. The sheep becomes open prey. The sheep becomes a candidate for an accident in the rocky ravines and canyons, and the weather and the animals, the predators, the wolves, and the lions. It's not that he's not in the fold. He's in a place of danger. And I want to tell you, forever lost soul, it's not that they're just not in the fold in the church by being lost. They're in danger to the predators. They're in danger to this world. They're in danger of destruction by being lost. You see, the point is, a sheep cannot find its way back on its own. It must be sought out and brought back. It must be sought out and brought back. Amen. The parable never addresses how the sheep was lost. That's not mentioned. It might have wandered off. It might have, in stubbornness, struck out on its own. It might have been run off by a predator. How the sheep was lost was not the point. The point was the shepherd was out to find him. Hallelujah. Even you let a child become lost and missing. Amen. The point of how that child became missing is irrelevant, except how it applies to the search. People don't say, well, he should have stuck with his parents better. Even the fact that he's lost is all that matters. I know people are lost, and some of it's been willful sin. Some of them have went out against advice and against counsel. But the point of how they got lost is not important to God. The point is, let's go after them. Let's find them. Let's seek them out and bring them back. Can you say amen? In verse 4, I want you to notice again how the two words go after. The shepherd doesn't just say, this is horrible, the sheep is lost. No, he goes after. God isn't simply disturbed by the fact people are lost, and he doesn't just let them be lost. I'm glad we serve a God that goes after. How many remembers today he came after you? Go after. And then in that verse, I want you to notice some more words here. Until he find it. The shepherd never gave up. The shepherd never entertained giving up until he had found the sheep. He never stopped searching. He expended whatever energy and effort that was needed. He was staying after it until he found. Aren't you glad we serve a persistent God? My wife has a thing. If she loses something, there's no peace and there's no rest until she finds it. Back in the holidays, she got up at 2 in the morning. What are you doing up? What are you doing in there? I can't remember where I put something. I can't rest till I find it. Hallelujah. Ain't long till you're helping them in that situation. Let's get this thing over with. But I'm telling you, with our God and his love, there's no rest until he finds it. Oh, thank God that he came after us. Verse 5, and when he had found, he laid it on his shoulders. You know what that tells me? That sheep couldn't walk out of the mess it found itself in on its own. It could not find its way back to the fold. So Jesus, the shepherd, he picks it up and he puts it on his shoulders and he carries it out of what it couldn't get out of. How many did he carry you out of what you couldn't get out of? Amen. He puts it, and then he begins to rejoice. He himself rejoices. Others join in and rejoice with him. Why? Because the sheep that was lost, headed for imminent destruction, has been found. It's been rescued. It's been brought back to the safety. I'm telling you, if we will seek what God seeks for, we'll rejoice with God over what he rejoices. So what was Jesus driving at? Verse 7. He tells us, I say unto you, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need not repent. I think it's already clear to us, and I've slipped a few times and let it out. Jesus is the shepherd. That's what he was driving at. The lost sheep in our story stood for those publicans, those sinners, those that the religious crowd found despicable and sinful. The religious crowd could not understand why Jesus was spending time with them and welcoming them. But what Jesus says, in effect, he says, they are lost sheep, and I am their shepherd. Would you expect me to do anything other than to go after them? That's what he said. What do you expect of me? I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. These publicans, they're sinners, they're lost. They're in the ravine of sin. There's predators that are taking their life. What do you expect me to do? Leave them in that situation? Oh, no, Jesus said, I can't leave them because I'm their shepherd. I'm their shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Lord is our shepherd? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's why I appreciate the old hymn we sing, Victory in Jesus. Sister Crispin, my Savior forever. But I moved when we get in the course. He sought me. He sought me. How many can say he sought me and he bought me? Glory to God. If you're glad that he sought you just right now, we got time to worship. Just worship him. Thank you, Lord, that you sought me out. Amen. You stayed after me until you found me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sought me. This is how Christianity is different than any other religion. In other religions, it's all about man seeking God. But in Christianity of this book, it's about God seeking man. Jesus is the shepherd. I want to take you briefly, before we finish up here, to the Old Testament. The promise of the coming shepherd in Isaiah 40 and 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Ezekiel 34:11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among the sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will seek that which was lost, oh hallelujah, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. Verse 23, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and shall be their shepherd. He's speaking of the descendant of David, the Christ, the Son of God, Son of Man. And it says that he shall be their shepherd. Jesus said, what do you expect? I'm their shepherd. In the parable, no effort was spared in seeking the lost sheep, because there's no way to overestimate the value of a soul. Can you say amen? But it's beyond that. It's the destruction that's going to happen if that sheep's not found. Verse 7, I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, when that lost sheep is found, then the rejoicing begins. Most would agree that the shepherd here is not the immediate owner of the sheep. The reason for that, in those days, if you had 100 sheep, you were a wealthy man. You didn't go out and watch your own sheep. You were wealthy enough to hire someone to watch over your sheep. And so this shepherd was watching over them for someone else. But when he finds the sheep and comes back with it on his shoulders, not only does he tell the owner, I found the sheep that was put under my trust. I found my sheep that you entrusted me with. But he calls out his friends and said, oh, we have found the sheep. Glory to God. And Jesus said, what this is a picture of, I'm seeking the lost. But when I find a lost soul, when a lost soul is born again, when a lost soul comes to know me, he is found. And when that lost soul was found, my Father, he's going to rejoice. It talks about rejoicing in heaven, but who's rejoicing? The angels, the saints that's gone on before? I don't think it's either or. I think every time a lost soul is found, the Father rejoices, the shepherd Jesus rejoices, the saints rejoice, the angels rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's something to rejoice about. I want to tell you, every time somebody gets saved, there is rejoicing in heaven. And that shows you the priorities of heaven. What heaven rejoices over is what is the priority of heaven. And I'm telling you, the priority of heaven is the finding of the lost sheep. And if that's the priority of heaven, it ought to be your and I's priority. Amen. To find the lost sheep. Hallelujah. It does more than that to me. This simple parable reaffirms to me that there is a heaven and that it's a place of rejoicing. How many wants to go to heaven, the place of rejoicing? And then I want to notice something that used to trouble me. In fact, once again, as I was preparing for this, I mulled and it bothered me a little bit. See if it doesn't bother you a little bit until we get to the bottom of it. Look at verse 7. He rejoiceth over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Has everyone thought, I guess that don't matter much. Shepherd's making a big fuss over that person getting saved. I've been in the church 40 years, paid my tithes for 40 years. Nobody's rejoicing over me being here today. You know, back earlier in the parable, it said he leaves the 99 in the wilderness. Now that doesn't mean he abandoned them. He left them in the charge of another shepherd, or he made sure they were in some kind of enclosure. He didn't just, because a good shepherd would never abandon 99 to the same destiny as the lost one. And so that kind of bothered me, Brother Brock. Everybody's getting, I mean, not in another sense, I know that you ought to rejoice over a sinner. It's not that, it's just a little bit. Did the 99 mean anything to him? I mean, he's getting so happy. He's having a party because he found a lost. Can you imagine being one of those 99 sheep? What's that party they're having down in the village? Oh, you know old Herb, he got lost the other day. Again. And the shepherd found him. They're throwing a big party down there. Well, I ain't ever been lost. No one's ever thrown me a party. I never really understood it before. But wait a minute, who's he talking to? He's talking to these self-righteous Pharisees that think they have it all together and are important to the kingdom of God. And he's talking to them about these publicans and sinners. And he said, listen, we're going to rejoice when one of these publicans and sinners gets saved. More than over 99 just persons. I don't think Jesus was talking about literally just persons who need no repentance, because you and I both know, I don't care how just you get, you still sense a need of repentance. You know what he's referring to? It's not there were actually 99 just persons need no repentance. He's telling the Pharisees, that's what you think of yourself. You're over here condemning me because I'm reaching out to the public and sinner, because you feel like you're the 99 persons. You don't need anything from me. That's why the public and sinners were drawn near to me while you were criticizing. You didn't think you needed anything. You didn't think you needed to repent. I'm telling you why the 99 should rejoice in the rejoicing, because the 99 realize they need help from God. They need grace from God. They need repentance as much as the lost sheep does. And I'll tell you something else. If one of those Pharisees had have had his heart turned and begin to say, "Oh, I see the error of my ways. Will you help me, Lord?" There'd been rejoicing in heaven over the one of those 99 that turned to him as much over the one that knew it was lost. So it's not that the 99 were actually in good shape. It's they just didn't realize how bad off they were. Well, what should we do about all this? When we leave here today, what should we do about this parable? And as I've been doing, let's first of all talk to believers. The first thing I like to say to we believers is we must never forget that once we too were lost sheep. The prophet Isaiah said, "And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of his all." I'm all for God going after lost sheep, because I was a lost sheep that had went my own way, and he came after me. We got time in every service for some sinner, if need be, for them to interrupt the plan, to come up here and get saved. We got time for that, because we too were the lost sheep one day. I think what happens sometimes, folks forget that they once were a lost sheep. Amen. And then secondly, we believers, we must remember that once in the fold does not mean we cannot again wander away and be lost. The thing to note about the lost sheep in the parable, he had been a part of the herd. He had been a part of the flock. He had been in the fold with the rest of them. I don't want to ever wander away from the flock, do you? From the fold. And then to believers, I'd like to say, we must realize that a seeking for the lost is not an overlooking of us who are in the fold. Sometimes folks may not understand. There may be one lost person sitting in the church house. It seems like everything becomes directed by the Spirit, directed at them. The sermon's about the lost. Look around, there's one lost and 200. You say, preaching the sermon for one person? But we must realize when God goes after the lost, he's not overlooking the rest of us. He's just adding to us. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. What would I say to unbelievers today? If you're here as an unbeliever, maybe you hear this later or hear it on the internet. Amen. You as a lost sheep are wide open to being hurt and destroyed and perishing. A lost sheep is in grave danger. It's defenseless. It's in a place where it can be hurt and abused, devoured, become a prey. If you're a lost sheep, you need the shepherd to be saved from certain perishing. I'd also like to say to an unbeliever, if you're a lost sheep this morning, you are being sought after. You are being sought for. I believe the Lord is seeking. And I'd just like to say to you, you're an unbeliever, you're hearing this, I'd like to just say to you, he's coming after you. The shepherd is coming after you. If you're a backslider, I want you to know something. He's coming after you. Hallelujah. Are you glad we have that kind of persistence? Shepherd that does not give up on the lost. I feel many times the church gives up on the lost before the master shepherd does. I like to say to the unbeliever, you cannot get out of it by yourself, but let him find you and he'll carry you out. He'll put you on his shoulders. How many had to have you, the Lord, the shepherd, reach down into the deep pit, the miry clay, and pick you up out of it? You was too weak, you couldn't even walk on your own, and he put you on his shoulder. Oh, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. Glory to God. I've found even since when I get weak and can't make it, if I'll just weakly call out to him, amen, Brother Rose, he'll still put me on his shoulders. And he's that kind of shepherd. Hallelujah. And last of all, to the unbeliever, I'd like to say, you cannot realize how much you are worth to God until you realize how much heaven would rejoice over your salvation. I don't care who you are, how lost you are, what things you've done. You can't realize how much you're worth to God until you realize the fact that if you'd give your heart to Christ, let Him find you, all of heaven would rejoice that you had been saved. Let me talk to us as a church, as a group, before we're done. What does this mean to us? What do we get out of this parable? First of all, we must realize that even today, there are those that are hungering for the truth. I want to tell you a lie of Satan. He'll tell us that things are so bad today, people are so wicked, that nobody is hungry for God, hungry for salvation. Like in Christ's time, Brother Aaron, it said these publicans and sinners, I'm talking about the lowlives in their perspective, they drew near to Jesus to hear His word. And I want to tell you, in 2012, there are folks that are hungering for the truth. Secondly, church, we must realize as the body of Christ, we are now the shepherd that goes after the sheep. When Christ was on earth, He had a physical body, Brother Heath, but we, the church, are His body. How many knows we, the church, are the shepherd that goes after, as the body of Christ? As the body of Christ. I've said this many times, and I believe it. The moment we cease reaching out for the lost is the moment we cease to be the church and we become something else. I appreciate all our outreach ministries. We're going after the sheep. And then we must realize how much those not here do matter. And I know we do, but I just want to reiterate it. Those that aren't here do matter. They matter to God. They matter to the fold. They matter to the kingdom. We must go after them. And last of all, this morning, we must realize what rejoicing, what revival comes to a church when lost sheep are being found. Glory to God. Nothing brings new life to the heart of the believer like finding a lost sheep. Glory to God. You talk about revival. Revival isn't coming up with a new doctrine. Revival's not a new song. Revival's not a new gift of the Spirit. I'll tell you what brings revival is when the church seeks God until He begins and move in such a way that He uses them to find the lost sheep. Amen. What would we find if we were looking for lost sheep? 1947, a young boy, goat herder, lost one of his goats down the Dead Sea Basin, began to search for the lost goat and found the caves, and in the caves found one of the most priceless treasures of our archaeology and of Christendom. He found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Those records, those manuscripts of the Old Testament that literally put duct tape on the mouth of Bible critics, proved everything the critics had been saying wrong. And he found it when he was searching for the lost goat. I would tell you, when the church begins to search for lost sheep, it finds a lot of other things. It finds joy. It finds purpose. It finds victory. It finds revival. It finds depths in Christ that it had not known. Praise the Lord. When we were at the youth getaway, one of our young ladies, I'm looking for, lost her brand new, got it for Christmas, iPhone. Now I ain't got my glasses on. If she's here, she'll be a bright red. She's not here. I'll have to tell it again tonight. But everything went into find the iPhone mode. We leaders were running around talking to different people. Talked to those that were running the snow slope. They're lifting up pads. They're going through inner tubes. They're looking everywhere for a lost iPhone. I can understand that. I have an iPhone. But in the context of this sermon, I begin to think of a shepherd and how passionately he goes after a lost sheep. I'm glad, first of all, that he went after me that way. But number two, I want that attitude. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? If you're glad he found you, would you stand across the building, lift your hearts and hands, and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for finding me. Oh God, I want that attitude about the lost. The attitude you had towards me being lost. I want that attitude towards the lost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us to join you as your people, as the church, to reach out to those that are lost. Lord, to refuse no one, to have our hearts open to anyone, that you could find them and rescue them. Hallelujah. Oh, what rejoicing. What rejoicing when the sheep is found. Thank you, Jesus, for your persistent pursuit, your persistent grace. Hallelujah. 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 Would you lift your hand this morning if you know lost sheep? How many knows lost sheep this morning? Oh, wouldn't you like to see them found? Wouldn't your heart rejoice? The one you're lifting your hand for, wouldn't your heart rejoice if that sheep was found? I'm telling you, our God is seeking for lost sheep. Let's join him in his search. Hallelujah. Let's join him in his search. If there's someone here this morning and you are lost, you've gotten away from the fold, you're not in the fold of his love and his grace, would you just come to him right now without hesitation? Would you say, I need that shepherd. I need the shepherd that causes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I need that shepherd that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. I need that shepherd that prepares a table before me in the presence. I need that shepherd that will cause grace and mercy to follow me all the days of my life so that I might dwell in the house. I need a shepherd this morning. Are you here? You need a shepherd. Have you been lost? Has your life been characterized by lostness? You're in danger. Amen. Things can happen to you. Amen. You're in danger. You need the help of the Lord. Amen. Are there others that would come? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. As they are coming, I wonder if you're here and you'd say, I know a lost sheep and I want the attitude of God towards the lost. Would you come and begin to fill this altar? Amen. Would you come and begin to say, oh, I want to join the shepherd in seeking the lost? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Is there others that like to come? You're lost. Amen. As you come, begin to call on the Lord. Just say, find me, Lord. Find me, Lord. I'm lost. I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of being taken advantage of. I'm tired of my soul perishing and being destroyed. I need you, shepherd, to reach down and pick me up out of the pit and put me on your shoulders and carry me out. Bring me out. Amen. Set me free. Hallelujah. Church, would you join me in the altars and begin to pray for the lost sheep to be found? Those that like to pray with this one that's praying, pray with him. But others, let's pray that God, amen, would help us join him in the search for the lost sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He came looking.